The last two major feasts of the church year are the Transfiguration of our Lord and the death of the Theotokos. The first two major feasts of the church new year are the birth of the Theotokos and the elevation of the cross. Note how the shape of the liturgical year, beginning with the birth of the Theotokos and ending with her death, shows the whole mystery of Christ taking place within the life of the Theotokos. The shape of the church's liturgical year is an icon drawn in time of the Lady of the Sign. It's the icon taken from Isaiah, "The virgin shall conceive and bear a son." The Lady of the Sign is that icon that is there on the apostle stand. Thank you, dear. And the icon that is behind me in the behind the altar. The Theotokos stands like this, and the Christ is in her womb. Looks like a cross, does it not? As an icon in time, this icon of the liturgical year is a mirror in time. Remember, icons are not windows into heaven. I do not know where that came from. You know, you look through a window and the subject you're looking at is out there, away from you. And you can't get to it because there's a pane of glass that's blocking the way. That's not the word that the Holy Fathers used. I do not know where that word came from. The word the Holy Fathers used is a mirror. An icon is a mirror. It's a mirror in time, which means that when you look at the icon, it's not showing you something that's out there. It's reflecting the mystery of the kingdom of heaven that is moving in here, within you. Beneath the mathematical movement of astral time, the icon of liturgical time shows this movement of the kingdom of heaven. It reflects it, its movement, that it's moving in you. And so it reflects the mystery of God hidden from before the ages that has been herding the days of time to the last day and to the mystery of Christ in you. It is a mystery that is rooted in the Theotokos and it is centered on the cross, this mystery of Christ in you, this mystery of the kingdom of heaven within you. It is rooted in the Theotokos and it is centered on the cross. So see then how the shape of the liturgical year forms the gospel image of the Theotokos standing at the foot of the Lord's cross as he is crucified. And there she weeps, her heart pierced with the grief of a mother's love for her child. And even though we are not as pure as she was, still, can we not feel something of her grief when we imagine, if we haven't actually experienced, the grief that we would feel at the death of our own children and loved ones? Christ, the cross, the Theotokos. Beloved faithful, at the center of the Christian faith, at the center of the Christian faith is this image of the Theotokos weeping at the cross of Christ, her Son and our God. Contemplate this image, absorb it, and begin to feel it, to begin to feel in your gut the height, the depth, the breadth, and the width of the love of Christ and of his Holy Mother. This love is the essence of the salvation that Christ has worked in the midst of the earth, in the midst of our heart. The kingdom of heaven that is within you, Christ in you. You are the earth, and he has worked this salvation in the midst of your earth. And we see the character, we see the essence of this salvation, and we can feel it in this central image of the Christian faith, of the Theotokos weeping at the cross of her Christ. We see then that the Christian faith is not a cerebral, dry, philosophical truth that we ponder and parse in our minds in some detached, mathematical, precise manner. It is a heavenly, it is a most holy, even a divine mystery that pierces into the inmost sanctuary of the heart, shown in this central image of the Theotokos weeping at the cross of her Son. To be contrary, I think, to all philosophical expectations, it shows that the essence of the Christian faith is profoundly and viscerally human. And this is the really real. It's the mystery of man and of God. See in this central image that we cannot contemplate Christ apart from his Holy Mother. For through her he became flesh. He became her Son. She became the Mother of God. Here, a kind of philosophical theology or a propositional so-called Christian theology would focus on God becoming flesh and would take off in this kind of dry, mathematically precise manner that I just referred to, reducing Christian theology to just a set of cerebral ideas, dry as dust. But in the liturgical prayers of the church, whereby we enter the sacred cave in which Christian theology is born, we are taken into the Mother's heart. We are given to feel the tender warmth of her love for her child and of God's tender love for his mother. Here in the liturgical life of the church, the mystery of the incarnation is no longer an abstract idea. The love of God takes shape as visceral, you know, gut compassion, compassion that we feel in our gut, that pierces all the way to the division of soul and spirit. A compassion that all of us taste, all of us taste it, all of us, in the most profound moments of our own human experience. Neither can we contemplate in this central image of the Christian faith Christ and his Holy Mother apart from the cross and the tomb. Christ suffering and dying on the cross, this is the final. It is the most perfect theophany. That is to say, the most perfect, the most complete, the absolutely complete manifestation of God. It manifests the perfection of God as inexpressible love for the world that is contrary to every human, even angelic, expectation. And what makes it so profoundly near to us is that it manifests its inner shape in the grief of the Holy Mother as she watches her Son, the God of all, taken down from the cross and laid in the tomb. At the foot of the cross, we stand in the heart of all things. And we see in this central image of the Christian faith the mystery of God that caught even the angels by surprise. God's viscerally human love for his mother and of the mother's love for her divine child. This is an image whose theological proclamation our minds cannot grasp, because it is so deep beyond all things. But precisely for that reason, we can feel it in the visceral depths of our heart. Brothers and sisters, did you know that there is in the New Testament, there was in the Old Testament, forgiveness of sins and the joy that goes with it? There's cleansing in the Old Testament. Did you know that? The psalmist gives us vivid descriptions of the joy and deliverance experienced by the righteous from their deep experience of God forgiving their sins in the Old Testament. But while there was an experience of the forgiveness of God in the deep heart, there was no experience of becoming one with God in the deep heart, because God was not yet conceived and born of the Virgin. He had not yet shared with us in our flesh and blood, even to the point of death on the cross, that we might become one with Him as communicants, as partakers of His divine nature. And I think it is this, God becoming one with us in the tender love of the Son for His mother and of the mother for her Son, so that we might become one with God in the love of God in our deep heart. I think it is this that makes the New Testament new. It is in this central image of the church, the Theotokos weeping at the cross of Christ, whom she conceived and bore as her Son, and whose mother she was, that we begin to comprehend the warmth, the vibrancy of God's divinely human compassion and the Theotokos' humanly divine love. If you will, that is the essence of salvation in Christ. We comprehend it not with our minds. Our minds are not big enough to hold it all in. We do comprehend it, however, in our heart. Let us be deep beyond all things, where we open unto God. For it is the mystery of God that is within our deep heart that is being reflected back at us when we look at this central image of the church as into a divine mirror. So, when we take up the ascetic work of putting to death what is earthly in us for the sake of Christ, we are receiving this central image of the church into our souls. And we are beginning to become one with it. And it begins to reshape us in our inner man into the image and likeness of Christ, who was found in the image and likeness of man. Beloved faithful, the way of the church that leads through the days of our lives to the cross and to the tomb of our Lord God and Savior on Pascha night at the heart of the liturgical year, and to His Holy Mother weeping there, I believe this way is the way that God revealed to the sons of Israel that the psalmist talks about in Psalms 102. It is the way that is signified by the Holy of Holies, but that did not come into view until the first temple was no longer standing, until Christ ascended the cross, and the stone that was rejected became the cornerstone of the new temple laid in the tomb to work salvation in the midst of the earth, in the midst of our souls. It is the way that is held in the bosom of the human soul. It is the way that winds deep beneath the movement of the sun and the moon, the way that leads deep into the heart that is the man, that is deep beyond all things, and where we open unto God. So in this vision of the central image of the church, and in this beautiful word that is proclaimed by this icon at the center of the church, to the degree that we are able, according to our strength and according to our circumstances, according to the strength of our resolve, according to the strength of our desire to draw near the Theotokos, weeping at the cross of her Son and our God, so that we may be taken up into her joy in his holy resurrection. To that degree, let us be resolved to take up our cross, understanding that we're not just taking up rules and regulations, we're taking up this love of God for his mother and of the mother for her son. As our church New Year's resolution, let's be resolved to center our life more on the life of the church, which means to center our life more on the love of the Theotokos for her son and of the son for his mother. And to let the rhythm of our life be taken up into the rhythm of the church's liturgical worship. That means our life being taken up into the ascending and descending movement of God's love for his mother and of the mother for her son, our God. Let's be more attentive to the seasons of the fast. Let's work to give alms, which isn't just giving money to the poor. Most of all, I think the essence of giving alms is to forgive our enemies, or at least to pray for them. May the Lord then help us to become one with this central image of the church, that we may be transfigured from within and become one with God, become a new creation, a child of God, a communicant of the divine nature in the love of God and of his holy mother. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ.